You're listening to the Food Talk Show on channelradio.co.uk. The Food Talk Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the gorgeous Christy Ellis. Well, it's the Food Talk Show here on channelradio.co.uk with me, Paul Andrews, and the gorgeous Christy Ellis. I'm afraid Sue's not with us this week, is she, Christy?
No, she's not. She's sunning herself.
She's sunning herself in Portugal. She's probably right at this very moment having her face stuck in a plate of Cataplana with a glass of chilled Vino Verde, sat on a beach in somewhere like Quinta do Lago. I don't know where she's gone in Portugal.
No, I don't know.
She wouldn't tell me.
No.
In case we, you know, did something to stop her coming back or whatever. But anyway, so if you're listening, I'm sure you are by the swimming pool there. Hope you're having a lovely time.
Yes.
So, but here, back in the studio, back in Ashford, where we are, we're having loads of fun, are we not?
We are indeed. We're holding the fort very well, I think.
We are indeed. So we've got Christy that's going to help me out with the show, and we've also got Brady joining us that's going to help us with some of the tasting that we're going to be doing today. Hello, Brady. How
Hello.
Are you? It's lovely to see you too.
I'm very excited to be here, especially as there's food.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the whole reason I do this show, yeah. otherwise, I wouldn't eat. Or something. So, I'll tell you what, Christy, why don't you tell us what we've got lined up for today?
Okay. So we have Rupert Parsons from Womersley Foods Fruit Vinegar. They make some fantastic and award-winning flavoured vinegars.
I've got two bottles of them in front of me.
I know. We're going to be trying those a little bit later.
Yeah. They're very nicely presented bottles, aren't they? And I've got Golden Raspberry and Apache Chili Vinegar. Now, just as a name, that is really funky, isn't it? I have no idea what Apache chili is, but we're going to find out soon. Yes, and I've also got lime and black pepper and lavender vinegar, which is cool.
Yeah.
So
we've got that. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle, we've got our We Hate Heston.
Absolutely.
So that's with my good friend Hilda Smith. And she's also a chef at Belmont House in Faversham.
I know Hildy. I know her very well. Yes, I know Hildy.
She's one of my neighbours.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
And she's making some delicious hollandaise sauce with char-grilled asparagus.
Right.
And then we have Antonio Lorenzon from Jules for Innovation Spotlight. And they make healthy soft drinks using their very own unique pearl technology.
Absolutely. And we're really looking forward to talking to Antonio and finding out more about that. We've got loads of interesting stuff. I have to tell you, I have a story about Hilda. It would have been 2 years ago now, I think. It seems like only yesterday, but 2 years ago, I got blagged into playing football. At my age, would you believe, in a football tournament. And Hilda was making the after-tournament dinner, which was lovely. And it actually was the only thing that saved my life, was thinking about being able to eat at the end of playing football.
She's a fantastic cook, isn't
she? Is absolutely brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And Hilda's doing our We Hate Heston feature today.
She is. Yeah, I tasted it. It was absolutely delicious.
Was it? Asparagus with hollandaise.
Yeah, a nice hollandaise sauce.
Cool.
Very good.
Really good.
That's
hungry now.
That's a regular on your evening menu, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Actually, that's breakfast. I normally do asparagus for breakfast. It's like this trend at the moment for having crushed avocado on toast, yeah? What's all that about? What's wrong with a bacon sandwich, for goodness sake? It's breakfast.
Healthy fats. Come on.
I beg your pardon?
Healthy fats.
What's he going on about? Healthy what?
It's a new thing. Shall I tell you?
Yeah. I'll shut up and you tell me something interesting. Yeah.
Shall I tell you a little bit about Rupert, who we're going to be speaking to in a little while?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Rupert Parsons from Womersley Foods. The Womersley brand was first launched in 1979 by Rupert's parents, Martin and Aileen Parsons, from their home. Wimsley Hall in Yorkshire. It's since become one of the UK's leading gourmet brands. In 2009, Rupert took over the family business from his parents, and since then, he's rebranded the image, making it more inclusive and therefore appeal to a more modern audience. They've won plenty of awards. They've got the 3-star award at the 2014 Great Taste Awards for the raspberry vinegar. They were highly commended for their raspberry vinegar at the Free From Awards in 2013. And also they were included in the top 50 foods at the 2014 Great Taste Awards for their golden raspberry and Apache chili vinegar, which I think, is that the one we've got?
That's the one that's there, yeah. I'm absolutely fascinated by that because I love chili. I love hot stuff. I was talking to Antonio earlier about his wasabi pearls and I was trying to get my hands on them. And I love hot stuff and I especially love hot chili. And stop it, behave. But I've never heard of Apache chili. I love it. I love the sound of it. You know, it's
just makes you want to try it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like not your average chili.
It's Geronimo chili. Yeah, it's absolutely. Be good. I love it. Cool. So these guys have won awards for this as well. So
I've got some vinegar facts as well.
Yeah, go for it.
Because Sue, I know.
You can wash your windows with it, that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, wait, it's coming. Sue always does some facts, doesn't she?
She does indeed.
Interesting facts on vinegar.
I think she makes them up herself, but you know.
Well, I scoured the internet and I found out that November the 1st is National Vinegar Day.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
So what could you do to celebrate National Vinegar Day?
Clean your windows.
Buy chips.
Have some fish and chips, yeah. Vinegar has historically had a variety of industrial, medical and domestic uses, from being used to treat soldiers' wounds in World War I to being used as an air freshener and, wait for it, an underarm stain remover.
Wow.
Oh. Who knew?
Yeah, they're the best reasons I've ever heard.
Yeah, yeah. Why not? Yeah, absolutely.
One more, sorry. It was more than likely discovered by accident when products like wine, beer and cider were left too long.
Yeah. It is interesting. Behave. She's getting all carried away now, isn't she? It is interesting, though, isn't it? A product like vinegar and how many uses it has. Some of them are mythological, you know, you know, a bit old wives' tales and stuff like that. But some of it are kind of medically proven and certainly people swear by. My gran used to swear by. My gran ran a sweet shop in Shepherd's Bush and she used to swear by cleaning the shop window with newspaper and vinegar. And even when commercial cleaning materials came out, she wouldn't be persuaded otherwise. Yeah. And of course, we have a really famous nursery rhyme, Jack and Jill.
Yeah,
vinegar. In which a head injury is treated with vinegar and brown paper.
Must be true.
So it must be true. It absolutely has to be true. Otherwise, they wouldn't have put it in a nursery rhyme, would they? It just stands to reason, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so too.
Who needs plasters?
Absolutely. So it's an interesting product, isn't it? And of course, as you say, it's the byproduct of kind of wine and beer going off, or you know, being past its sell-by date, really, that makes it what it is. Obviously, what we're looking at here, we have two bottles on the top of the desk here, which is Wormersley's products. As I say, which are gorgeously packaged. They are really lovely small bottles that they're in with some fantastic packaging. But they are very different to conventional brown vinegar, basically.
It's not a bottle of malt vinegar we've got.
That's the word I was looking for. It's not malt vinegar and it's not onion vinegar. No.
They do. They look like they'd be really pretty addition to your kitchen shelves.
Well, they're marketed, aren't they, to attract the foodie.
You know? Absolutely.
So I think they look good on your shelf, which I think for a lot of people for ingredients.
That is a perfect description. Yeah. I was just about to say exactly the same, Brady. You took the words right out of my mouth. It's the kind of thing that you don't even necessarily want to open. You could actually put the bottle on display in your kitchen and it would just look nice. I mean, I've got loads of things like that. The contents went off years ago, but the bottle looks nice. Yeah.
I think people would, you know, they might have their cheap wine in the fridge, but their nice wine on display, and it's a bit like that, isn't it?
It is, really.
People will see that,
yeah,
and they just look like they're in the know if they've got vinegar on display.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I know I do.
In the know about what?
yeah.
The latest ingredients.
Yeah.
I am interested, actually, when we speak to Rupert, to find out what kind of things people do use them for, because, like Paul was saying earlier on, it's certainly not for putting on your chips, is it?
Mm. Well, you could. You could put it on chips, but that would be
nothing
a waste, wouldn't
that.
It?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. So we're going to talk to Rupert fairly shortly, hopefully. Unfortunately, Rupert couldn't join us in the studio. He did send his vinegar on along on its own, and it made its way here, which was lovely. But hopefully we're going to get Rupert on the telephone, and we're going to talk to Rupert about Wormersley vinegars shortly. I think, though, do you know what we're going to have to do, though?
Sue's favourite.
I think we're going to have to do Sue's favourite part of the show. No, honestly, it is Brady. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. The fact that she punches me every time I do it is not an indicator of how much she doesn't like it, really. Yeah. As regular listeners will know, I have a habit of choosing some cheesy tunage.
Oh, yes, I know about this.
Yeah, and I have chosen some cheesy tunage for today, and it isn't vinegar related, I have to say. This is in tribute to Antonio and his Jules drinks. And I was looking at his website and looking at his wonderful products and looking at the pearls that he drop in them. And, do you know, this just popped into my head. Go. Do you know what? That's not going to play, is it?
Oh,
aww.
A shame.
Aww.
Can you sing it instead?
Yeah, I could sing it. But it's not going to play. Oh, dear.
Never mind. We'll have to do without it.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put something else on for the moment, I think, and see what we can do with that. See if that plays.
No.
The music's not going to play.
Oh, no cheesy tunage.
No, so that's a bit of a disappointment, isn't it?
Never mind.
You'll have to talk amongst yourselves for a moment. Yeah, and
we could sing happy birthday to Brady.
Yeah, is it your birthday?
It's Brady's birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
21, eh? Oh, congratulations.
Times two.
I tell you.
Nearly.
I'll tell you what, talk amongst yourselves for a moment.
Brady, don't give me evils, please.
It'd be the first year that I've had vinegar to toast with.
Mm. Yeah.
And pearls of...
Hopefully the start of a new tradition.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm really looking forward to trying the vinegars a little bit later. Mm. I did see when I was looking on the website that one of them, I think, was it the raspberry one? You saw it with me, didn't you, Brady?
Yeah.
The raspberry one goes very nicely with champagne.
Yeah.
And also, Antonio was saying that he's got some raspberry pearls that would go a treat in a glass of champagne as well, haven't you, Antonio?
Oh, yeah.
I think the visual of it is, I mean, never mind the taste, which it can't be anything other than absolutely fantastic. It's the
that
combination
would be perfect
flavor.
For your birthday, right?
But the just the visualness of it, I think for a party, just be so... you know, fun and something completely different. Really, really nice.
Yeah, it is actually. Mm.
Don't talk too much to Antonio because he's for after the cheesy tunage and for the after the Rupert.
I've got Antonio's pearls next to me though at the moment. They're enticing me. They're all I want to talk about.
But. Well done, ladies. I think I've got Rupert on the phone now. Hello, Rupert. Are you there?
I certainly am. Hello.
Oh,
hello.
That's brilliant. You saved our life,
hello.
Rupert.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
He's listening in. So have you heard what we've been saying all about your lovely products, Rupert?
Yeah, but please don't use them for cleaning the windows, eh?
No.
They were vinegar facts.
I've got to start by asking you this question, Rupert. Apache chili. I'm not familiar with that term.
You'll quite often see the Apache chili. It looks as a quite an ornamental chili. It's got a really nice aroma to it. So the bottle that I sent you, for instance, when you open it, you can have a really nice aroma out of it, as well as a good flavour. And it's a chili that lends itself well to using in food because it's got a gentle heat that builds and then fades away rather than takes over everything.
Mm. While you're talking, Christy's just decanting some of it for us to try. So
it's her birthday. Yeah, what a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So hold on a sec.
Right, so we've got it.
Yeah.
The smell is just...
That's Brady talking. She's it's Brady's birthday today, and she's celebrating with some of your lovely vinegar.
Thank you.
It has. As Rupert said, as soon as you open the bottle, it's got a very distinctive aroma, hasn't it? So while we're playing about here, obviously you can't see us, Rupert, so you don't know what we're doing, but we're all getting very excited about this.
I'm surprised at what it tastes like because the smell, the first bit of smell that I got was quite a peppery...
Real chilli, isn't it?
Like the chilies are quite hot. And so I was expecting it to be a little bit drier, but it's not. It comes
very
after.
Aromatic.
It comes after, doesn't it? So you take a sip of it.
Yeah.
And then you get it's a not super sweet, but there's a little bit of sweetness to it. And then right at the end, you get that kick of the chilli, which is just lovely, and it's kind of feels a bit warm as it's going down.
Oh, good. Well, I'm pleased you like it. The it's the one that won the Golden Fork at the Great Taste Awards in 2014, and which is one of the top food awards. And I think it lends itself very well to a huge multitude of uses. And what you were saying earlier about not putting things on your chips and all this sort of thing. Well, yeah, it'd be real luxury on your chips, but equally, being a very versatile food ingredient, it's great in cocktails as well, where you want that acid. Mix in a cocktail, but that lovely aroma and heat of the chilies is gorgeous.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. So what would you put with that one then, Rupert?
What would I put with which, sorry?
The raspberry and chili one.
If I'm using it in food, it blends really well with a nice British rapeseed oil to use as a salad dressing.
All right, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's probably where most people would use our vinegars. But equally, we'll shortly be publishing a load of a really nice cocktail recipes. We've worked with a nice gin our local gin company, Cotswold Distillery. We've done some really beautiful cocktails, which we'll put up on the website for you soon.
Sounds delicious.
Fantastic.
And you're very lucky because you're the first ones to hear about that.
Oh, exclusive.
Breaking news on the Food Talk Show. Thank you for that, Rupert.
You've got a good audience for it here.
So Chris is going to decant the other vinegar that we have. Come on, Chrissy, you've got to work. She's sitting there sniffing that one. That's no good, is it? If I may, I'd just like to talk about the business side of what you're doing, Rupert. In Chrissy's introduction, she mentioned that the business had been going since 79. Is that correct?
Yes, my parents, Martin and Aline Parsons, started in Yorkshire. They had a craft shop in our garden in Yorkshire, and from that we evolved into doing foods. And I took over in 2009. So we used to have this wonderful heritage of jellies and vinegars and chutneys and jams and all sorts of things like that.
Right.
And from that, I decided to concentrate on doing the vinegars because they're something different to what you can get anywhere else.
Right, okay.
And the other thing is that I rebranded us in 2010. So what you were saying earlier about how pretty they look, and you can just imagine them sitting on the side in your kitchen. And I thought that was a really important part about the look, because you when you go shopping, especially in independent fine food shops that we sell to, you just get a sort of split second to make an impact. And I felt that it was important that we had that appealing look, and also to reflect my father's colourful personality, being the one who created all these flavours.
Absolutely. No, and you couldn't be more right. You're absolutely right. It looks like what it is, which is an absolute premium product, without any shadow of a doubt, and the packaging suits the contents. It's a fabulous look. And as you say, you want to attract people to try the contents. And you couldn't have done a better job if you tried, in my opinion. I think it looks fabulous.
They really do really look attractive. Very attractive, don't they? Mm. We've just had a little taste of... Well, I've had a taste. Mm. Have you all had a go on the...
Yeah.
The
Needless to say, I haven't, because they haven't given me any, Rupert.
Oh, go
sorry.
On, then. You
There's
go
some
and
up there. He just has to stand up a tiny
bit. Do you know what they're doing to me? They're putting it just out of my reach so that I have to actually move my vast bulk to actually get up and get it.
And that's my favourite as well, the lime, black pepper and lavender you've tried. It's just got this beautiful blend of sourness and the fragrance of the lavender as well. Makes the most amazing salad dressing, either on its own or with a rapeseed oil. But I'll tell you where it's really beautiful, and that's with... smoked salmon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I can definitely see
because salmon doesn't have a really strong intrinsic flavour. It needs that citrus to help bring it out. So just drizzle a bit on some smoked salmon, leave it for about an hour, and then serve it. It's beautiful.
It's amazing, actually, that the kick when you put your nose over this of lime and lavender, and you can get both, one up each nostril almost.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And also that heat of the black pepper. Mm. I can almost imagine drinking this as a cordial. It tastes like that nice for me to taste. You know, I would definitely drink it, I think.
I think the thing about this one that surprises me is the texture of it, Rupert, because it does seem like not to have the normal texture of vinegar.
I guess it depends on what you call normal.
Well,
but
that's true, isn't it? That's probably showing my taste.
I think she's talking about malt there.
Onion vinegar.
Yeah, I mean, they're fairly viscous because they've got sugar added to them in order to fix the fruit flavours.
Right.
But it does mean that also that they get a little goes a long way, unfortunately for me. Mm-hmm. You know, they last a good long time with only a very small amount. And what you say about drinks is a really important thing at the moment, because we are finding there is a real resurgence in the use of vinegars in drinks, which is precisely why, as I said earlier, you know, we've been doing this a lot of research and promotion of our vinegars in drinks, because they are very good either as a cordial or in cocktails.
Yeah, absolutely. They haven't got that harshness that you associate with vinegar, have they? They're smooth.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, totally get what Rupert was saying about using this one as a dressing with salmon.
Gorgeous.
I can really see that. That would be fabulous, I think.
Yeah,
really nice.
Trying that.
Rupert, can you talk us through how you make your products without giving away any trade secrets, obviously?
The secret recipe.
Yeah, the secret recipe. What's the process?
Oh, we just throw a few things in the bucket and there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Try it myself then.
Well, I guess it all goes back to the way that we created them in the first place, which was in Yorkshire, there's a lovely tradition still of having raspberry vinegar with your Yorkshire pudding, which is goes back a very long way. And that's how we first heard about fruit vinegars in the 1980s. And we decided to try a mixture of various ingredients, but trying to keep it simple and just use natural ingredients. Mm. So we just use spirit vinegar, which is the 5% acetic acid. It's a clear vinegar which blends well when you're trying to get fruit to break down. So you just infuse the fruit in spirit vinegar. It's the same vinegar that you see in mustard and lots of other dressings and so on that you might find at the supermarket.
Right.
And it's a really nice vinegar to use as a base, because being clear, it allows the colour of the fruits to really shine.
To infuse it a bit,
The other thing that it's useful for is that because what we do is a clear jewel-like finish, rather than leaving all the fruit pulp in, it means that the true colour of the fruit really comes out. So that's all we do. We just infuse the fruit in the spirit vinegar and then strain it and add some sugar to fix the flavour of the fruit. And there you go.
Okay.
Wow, fantastic. That sounds really cool.
So do you have a favourite flavour, Rupert?
Yes, the lime, black pepper and lavender.
I can see why. It's got a real kick to it, hasn't it? A real aroma.
Intensity.
I think it's because of the sourness. I mean, in the Far East and Scandinavia, they have a lot more sour foods than we appreciate here. We're not so well adapted with our taste buds to having sour foods in this country, but actually it adds so much depth to many dishes, and it's a really important part of the taste spectrum, if you like.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally get that. As someone that is on the sour side of food myself, I'm not a sweet type of person at all, in every sense of that.
I can vouch for that.
So I really do get what you're saying. Rupert, look, it's been lovely to talk to you. If our listeners want to find out more about your product, how to buy it and things like that, how can they do that?
Well, they can do a couple of things. I mean, you can follow me on Twitter at Womersley Foods,
okay,
where there's constantly updates. And we've got a website with plenty of information, which is also at Womersley Foods.
And can we buy it through the website at the moment?
Yes, we've got a shop on there. And I just got a big delivery today, ready for our talk.
Oh, that was lucky.
Yeah.
That was lucky.
Very busy.
Fantastic. So if we find your website and people can order the product from there.
Yes, that'd be lovely.
Fantastic. Good. Rupert, thank you so much for joining us on the Food Talk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. We absolutely love your product, both inside and out, the contents and the bottles and the packaging. We do hope that you shift all that extra product you've got as people rush to your website to buy it.
Well, thank you very much, and enjoy playing with those bottles. I look forward to hearing how you get on combining it with salmon and all sorts of things.
Absolutely. I'm going to rush home and make myself some sauce for that. Yeah. Rupert, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and enjoy the rest of the afternoon.
Thanks, Lars.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Cool. So there you go, Rupert Walmsley. I have sorted out what my problem was earlier now, but I don't want to play that anymore now because it's too late. Yeah.
What was your problem?
do you really want to know?
No, not really.
No, you don't. No, just being polite. You don't really want to know. Do you know what I think we'll do now, though? I think we're going to go straight into We Hate Heston.
What do you reckon? Hilda and her asparagus.
Yeah. Okay. Shall we have a listen to that?
Yeah, let's
go
that.
For it. Let's have a look here.
Hi, I'm in the kitchen with my good friend Hilda, who also works in Belmont House in Faversham.
Hi, hello everyone.
And today she's going to make a hollandaise sauce, is that right?
That's right, yes. I'm going to make a basic hollandaise sauce with some char-grilled asparagus, which is from our beautiful kitchen garden.
Delicious. Okay, so do you want to talk us through what your ingredients are?
Yes, I have got a little bit of water in a bain-marie and then a metal dish on top, which sort of is going to warm up 5 spoons of water in the dish, but you don't want it boiling because once you put the egg in, it will basically make scrambled eggs, and that's what you don't want. So I've got some water over here, I've got some clarified butter on the side.
So what is clarified butter?
It's basically ghee, where they've taken they've just kept the fat side rather than, you know, when you melt butter, you get the milky bit that bubbles sometimes.
Yeah.
It's that taken out. So it's just the yellow fat that's left. So it's clarified butter and it's basically clear.
Okay.
Okay, so we've got 500 ml of clarified butter, which is warm but not boiling. I have got 5 egg yolks, which I've just whisked up with 1 teaspoon of cold water. And I've got the 5 tablespoons of warm water over here. So I'm going to put the egg yolks in, but make sure that this water is not boiling. And you've got to keep whisking as you put it in until it's nice and thick. Now, the water that's underneath in the bain-marie, you don't want it to cook too quickly. You don't want it to bubble too fast. Because once again, if these egg yolks get heated too quickly, it will split. And you'll just end up with scrambled eggs or some funny weird consistency thing.
Okay, and is there a way to save it if it goes into scrambled eggs?
No.
In a word. Just start again. Use more eggs.
Yeah, exactly. If there's at a later stage, there is, if it gets too hot, you can put a couple of drops of cold water to bring it back down, and vice versa. If it doesn't thicken up quick enough, you can put a couple of drops of hot water. But that's before it's completely split. Once it's completely split and you've got a bit of scrambled egg and a bit of water, yeah.
It doesn't look so nice. No. It tastes so good. Right. So at the moment you're whisking it and it's foamy?
Yes, yeah. It's quite foamy. So I've got all the water and egg yolks. That's all that I have here that's gently, gently heating over this bubbling water underneath.
Yes, great.
Okay. So now I'm going to start adding the clarified butter. Now, this is a really long process, a slow process.
So you've got to add it very, very gradually.
Yes. It's almost the same as when you make alioli and you have to add your olive oil to your eggs. It will split if you add it too quickly.
Okay.
So it is literally a tablespoon at a time.
Tablespoon by tablespoon.
Yeah, can you see how nice and thick it's getting?
Yeah, it's looking a bit silkier, isn't it, now? Nice.
So it's going lovely and thick there.
So can you use an electric whisk if you want to, or is that going to make a massive difference?
No, you can. You can absolutely use an electric whisk and will be much easier.
It's a good workout for your arms, though, this, isn't it?
It is a very good workout for arms. And with the electric whisk, you've got to kind of regulate the speed. So I just always feel with the electric whisk, I haven't got enough hands. I feel a bit like an octopus. So now I'm putting a tablespoon at a time of warm butter, and I've got 500 ml of butter. So it takes a little while, but just be patient. The moment you decide, oh, I can put lots in now, That's where you're going to split your sauce. Okay. It's definitely worth the effort. So whilst I'm doing this, I've got a lovely pan at the back here that's steaming hot.
Yes,
can you
lovely
see
and
that?
Hot. Yeah, I can see that.
So now I'm going to just put this asparagus, which I've marinated in some olive oil and salt and pepper. That's
For
all.
How long? Look at that asparagus.
Not long at all. For half an hour.
Hank Brown,
our lovely head gardener, Graham Watts, is fantastic. It's like, it's my little piece of heaven. Every morning I go into the kitchen garden and we get our bits, and Graham plants all sorts of fantastic stuff that I request him to do.
And how long is the asparagus season about? It's not very long,
it's
is it?
It's only 2 to 3 weeks, yeah. Okay. I mean, we're quite lucky. This is basically the last bit. There's none after this now. English asparagus is notoriously the best in the world. It's just amazing.
So you've added all of the caramel butter that you're going to add now, and you're just mixing it. And you just said about putting in a little tiny bit of something, a little bit extra.
Olive oil, yes. Yeah, okay. What I have noticed, though, in the meantime, is I've found that the water underneath was bubbling too fast, so it was spitting a little bit.
Okay.
So I've taken it onto the smaller hob and put it on the heat on very low. So you don't want the heat to be too high in order for it to split. So it's brought it back. So I've put a few drops of lemon juice.
Yeah.
And I've put a little bit more of cold water, and we're back on track.
Okay. And it's looking delicious. I can't wait to taste it.
So you can hear the asparagus barbling away here at the back. Sizzling away, rather. I don't really like putting asparagus in boiling water and that kind of thing. I love charcoaling it.
Yeah.
It still gets the crispiness, and it just tastes absolutely divine. If you want to grab a little teaspoon, what you can do, have a little taste if you want.
Oh, yes, please.
I mean, at this stage, I haven't seasoned it yet.
Mmm. It's lovely. Really creamy, no lumps.
Buttery.
Lovely.
Yeah, well,
buttery,
if there was lumps, I'd be worried.
You're doing it wrong if there's lumps.
Yes. If there are lumps, start again. So I'm just still putting a little bit of butter. I didn't put all of the butter earlier, but I just needed to turn the heat down. So I was worried that it was
It was on the pan.
That's right. I'm going to put another one or two drops of lemon juice in here.
Okay.
And the trick is with this sauce is to add things as slowly as possible. Be really patient, which definitely... It's not one of my virtues, but I'm
all
trying.
All my own, actually, so I'm not sure how well I'll do it then. I could give it a go.
Yeah, I don't do it very often.
It's too long.
I'm doing way too long. That's looking good. Nice little colour there.
So it's a nice golden colour. It's got like a silky sheen. It's shiny.
In total, I'm going to add a whole tablespoon of lemon juice eventually.
Okay.
But as you can see,
drop
by drop at the moment.
So, Hilda, when do you know when you put enough butter or enough olive oil or, you know, whatever you're putting in gradually?
With this, you know that your measurement for the butter is 500 mil.
Okay.
So you're going to keep going until you've done it all.
It's quite a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot, but I mean, you can make it less.
You
can make a smaller amount. I used 5 egg yolks, so you could use 3 egg yolks. So it's 100 mil of butter for every egg yolk.
Okay.
Large
so
egg yolk.
You can make really quite a small amount and just use 100 mil, one egg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So it's a nice ratio to remember. 1 to 1.
So, Hilda, while you're stirring away furiously...
Stirring, that's me.
...gradually adding the butter and lemon, what sort of things do you do at Belmont House?
Well, Belmont House is sort of a privately owned, stately home, owned by a private trust. And we are open to the public on Wednesdays, and we have a tea room where we do light lunches and that kind of thing. It's a very limited menu, but the menu is always based on what I've got in the kitchen garden.
Okay.
So there'll be about 4 main courses, 3-4 cakes, that kind of thing, and afternoon tea.
Oh, lovely. I bet it's nice in the summer.
It is really lovely.
When we get some sun.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know when that's coming.
Yeah.
But it's really nice. You can sit outside. The tea room is inside the stables. So you can sit inside.
Lovely.
Nice, cool stables. Beautiful to sit in. And then also we have group bookings on other days and functions and that kind of stuff, either corporate or private. And they can book in advance. We, at the moment, we're kind of a year ahead.
Really?
Fully booked, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And they, people come for a house tour and a garden tour, and they have lunch, and that's quite, it's really, really lovely.
So do people still live in the house?
No. The estate manager lives in a part of the house and on the premises, yes. But the actual house that we show around to the public, no, nobody lives there.
Oh.
But it is beautiful, it's beautiful. You have to go on a guided tour.
Yeah.
You can't just wander around. But once you're there, you see why.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many little trinkets. It's like somebody's just stepped out and moved and left the house.
I love things like that. I have like to get the, along.
It is down. Really, really lovely.
So how long are you cooking those asparagus for? The char
Literally
grill.
Finished now. They're
okay.
About 10,
just stay warm.
10 minutes. Yeah, I just keep kind of shaking them every now and then. If you want, you can put the lid on.
Yeah.
And then the steam will just keep it dry. We're going to dunk them in here in a second. I literally have the last bit of the butter to add.
And then you're going to pop them in there to be dipped.
Yeah,
lovely.
Absolutely.
Simple and delicious.
Yeah. Now you can keep this for up to an hour, hollandaise sauce.
Okay.
After about an hour, it starts to deteriorate and then it just naturally spits.
That sauce is high maintenance.
Yeah, it is. That's why nobody ever makes it.
Yeah. But it's not hard. It's just patience, isn't it?
It's exactly the same. Alioli is exactly the same principle. It's just instead of butter, it's olive oil.
Yeah.
And equally easy to make, but equally labour intensive.
Yeah. Okay.
To practice your arms.
But you just need a whisk, don't you?
Yeah, you just need a nice balloon whisk.
A whisk,
a good quality balloon whisk.
A pan, you know, and a bowl on top. Yeah. And that's
a hole that's a bowl that's going to conduct the heat. So not something that, you know, some of those ceramic stuff, they take the heat on, but it doesn't actually conduct it to the whatever's inside it. Yeah, so you don't want to use one of those. And that's it.
Okay.
I'm just going to season it with some salt and pepper. Lots of people also grate a little bit of fresh nutmeg in there now.
Yeah.
Just gives it a bit of depth, which is just lovely. Tiny bit of
pepper. Quarter of a teaspoon of pepper.
So if you're very enthusiastic, you can now poach a lovely little egg. So you can lay your asparagus on your plate, the poached egg on top.
Light lunch
and then,
or snack.
Or starter.
Yeah,
perfect
starter.
For a special occasion.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Give it a go. Should we
have
a try?
Let's have a try. There you go.
Lovely. This asparagus smells gorgeous.
Love asparagus.
Mmm.
Perfect.
Oh, that is delicious. Thank you, Hilda. Thanks
You're
very
welcome.
Much. Right, so Hilda's children have just come in and they're going to have a little taste of the hollandaise sauce and asparagus. Let's see their reactions.
Mummy, what are you making?
I'm making some hollandaise sauce and asparagus. Do you want to try some?
Yeah.
Okay, dunk that in there.
Yummy.
Yummy. Good? Do you want some more, Elsie?
Yeah.
How's that taste, Elsie?
Good. No more.
Clever mum you've got, haven't you?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Hilda Marie Smith with her hollandaise sauce on asparagus. Hey, how nice is that?
It was very nice.
It's a complicated old thing to make, hollandaise sauce, isn't it?
Well, it's not complicated, just really time-consuming. Well, maybe for you, but just really, really time-consuming.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I'll tell you what then, Chrissy, what have we got next?
Okay, so next up we've got Antonio Lorenzon from Jules. Mm. So Jules Drinks is a brand new soft drink range that was launched in 2014 using their patented Jules Pearl technology. The pearls are made from edible seaweed grown in the Pacific Ocean. Jules use spherification.
Spherification. That's easy for you to say, Christy. Spherification. Do you know what that sounds like? A right load of old...
Well, let me tell you, this allows the juices, vitamins and all the good things to remain intact until they pop in your mouth.
Wow.
Nice.
Sounds good.
We've seen in the last few years a bit of a boom in the soft drinks market. There's been a shift to healthier soft drinks and consumers are looking for something a little bit different. So in 2014, in the UK, on average, 232.9 litres of soft drink was consumed per person.
Wow.
Which is quite a lot.
That's mostly me.
Thirsty ball in the corner.
Yeah.
Antonio, one of the co-founders, has really looked for a different approach when developing Jules. The concept was born in 2012 during a trip to Southeast Asia, combining different flavours in a unique way to have a wow taste experience. It's available in more than 1,000 stores across the UK and a further 400 stores in Italy, France, Spain and the United Arab Emirates.
Fantastic.
Yeah, wow. You've won some awards as well, haven't you, Antonio?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, well, welcome to the Food Talk Show, Antonio. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you and to see you and to spend some time talking to you about your lovely product. Why don't you kick off and tell us a little bit about, just tell us a bit about the concept of the product itself, your spherical...
Spherification.
Come on, guys.
Roundness. Your round things. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about it. Tell us about the product and the philosophy behind it.
Absolutely. So the product is an industry first product. The idea behind is just we want to find a way to combine new flavors without mixing them.
Okay.
So the idea is to have the uniqueness of the peculiarity of each flavor and to have them combine only when you start the consumption.
Okay.
So there is a completely new approach and is a way to drive engagement behind flavors, drive unique combinations, and also drive fun.
Right.
Because the main idea behind Jules is just we want to deliver fun
right
behind what we consider a super healthy drink.
And you've got a really funky presentation, haven't you? It's a really cool and funky bottle of drink without being disparaging, it's a kind of dumpy bottle, isn't it?
Exactly.
Is what it looks.
Yeah, for us, we say we take fun seriously in Jules. So for us, the Jules philosophy, it goes beyond just the business. It's really the way we approach project life,
right,
when we hire people, when we talk with people, when we engage with business partners. It's all about putting a bit of playfulness in the whole discussion, in the whole idea.
Absolutely.
And we see that the level of engagement you have when you inject fun and playfulness is disruptive. And that's the same we want to bring to life with our product when we are on shelf, in supermarket, convenience store, or wherever you can find us.
Cool. So let's start to explore some of the product that you've got here. What's the basis of the product before you put the pearls in?
Yes. So we have a base of green tea.
Green tea.
That is a flavored green tea.
Okay.
We have three variants now: mango, apple, and cranberry.
Right.
So the green tea has the base of the liquid, and then the green tea has great antioxidant properties, as everybody knows.
Absolutely.
And it's very refreshing. What we want is to have a playful kick. So that's the reason why we thought that the pearls would have been the perfect solution.
Right.
What we say, the perfect solution.
Very good.
He's such a smoothie, isn't he? Isn't he a smoothie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe with my Italian accent doesn't count for perfectly, but that's the perfect.
He's actually from Bermondsey, really.
Yeah.
You know.
And so the pearls want exactly to, you know, to bring up the playfulness of the green tea. That it's funny because when you talk with consumers, they tell you, oh, we love green tea, but it's a bit like a bit boring, it's a bit flat.
Yeah.
And we know it's very healthy for me, but it would be great to have something else. So the pears give exactly the texture that a green tea usually is missing. And the way we pack together everything is much richer than just a green tea, because inside we have some spring water, we have some very good vitamins coming from the super fruits. So that's the reason why it's just more than a green tea. We call it drink.
Yeah.
And it's a drink with pearls.
Right.
So the concept is really to have the first super healthy drink with pearls of goodness.
Right.
We call Jules the pearls of goodness. Or the pearls of pleasure.
Absolutely.
Depends the way you look at them.
Okay. Well, I'm going to reach across and grab the first mug.
Have a little taste. Yeah. Antonio, so where did... it took you 2 years to develop it.
Yeah.
What was, you know, the biggest problem that you found you had to overcome whilst you were developing? Because it's such a different drink, and I think I've seen that it was an industry first.
Correct.
Yeah. So what was the biggest problem that you had?
Yeah, there are, let's say, two layers of complexity. First of all is to spherify the liquid. You need to find the right partner with the capability to do the spherification in the proper way. And then when you spherify the liquid, you need to have the capabilities to put these pearls inside the drink.
Yeah.
So there are two different steps, and you need to be very conscious that every step has a lot of consequences if you do it wrong.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So that's the reason why it took a couple of years to identify the right players to rely on to have the product we wanted. And then it was a learning by doing, because being an industry first is a funny journey, because you don't have anybody in front of you, but you don't have anybody you can learn from.
Absolutely.
So it's absolutely inspiring. We keep saying with Leo, that is the founder of the business and my business partner, that every single day we live 3 or 4 days. So at lunchtime, we ask, how many days did we live today? Three, four. Because every single project we tackle, we need to create brand new solutions. that we didn't see before.
Sounds exciting.
So let's explain to the listener what we're drinking here. You've got a base liquid based on green tea, as Antonio said, but suspended in it and floating free in it are little balls, little pearls. And when you drink it, they just kind of melt in on
they
your tongue.
They just pop, don't they?
They
a little
just
bit.
Pop. Mm. And they go, pop.
I love what do they do? They pop up.
Yeah, it's
what do they do, Brady? Pop.
Exactly, but it's amazing because they are actually just suspended in the drink, and you therefore assume that they're going to be hard or solid or something like that, but they're not. So it's amazing how you've made that effect in there as well. I don't know if you can tell us about that or if it's a trade secret. Or
it's more than a trade secret. But no,
you're going to have to murder us all once you've told us.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Now, the flotation of the pears is absolutely, it was a key goal for us.
Yeah.
And we finally achieved at the beginning of this year.
Right.
Because having the pears floating enable the shoppers and the consumer to have every single time they drink juice, the same experience.
Yeah.
While if you have the pearl sitting at the bottom, you need all the time to turn the bottle upside down to find a straw, whatever.
Yeah.
So we saw that having the flotation part of the proposition was exactly what we needed to have the right product.
Right. Mm.
And actually the reaction, it's quite wow.
Yeah.
People keep it's part of our communication, this wow, because it's the first reaction when people try, they don't expect that you can have pop of flavors.
Pop.
Yeah. I mean, it's real innovation to be able to have done that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Because, you know, just even the way it looks. And actually, just to describe to the listeners, the pearls are really small, so they don't overpower. They are the fun extra addition to the actual lovely tasting.
They give it some depth, don't they? They put a little bit of depth to the base flavour, and then they come in, you know, when you pop them yourself on your tongue and give it that depth.
Let's explore that a little bit with Antonio, because you've got two or three of your bottles here, and we beforehand, before we were on air, we were talking about some of the different flavors that you've got, and things like wasabi and things like that. Is the flavor, is that kind of wasabi, is that within the pearl or within the base of the drink?
No, the base of the drink and the pearls are two different flavors.
Right.
So what we have is the base drink are three different variants, that is mango, apple, and cranberry. And then the pears have this uniqueness of keeping intact the incredible level of vitamins you have in the superfruit that you're using.
Right.
So we decide to use superfruit like acerola, liche, and acai, just because they are fruit that can deliver outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
That's lovely, that one.
I've just had the lychee apple.
The apple one,
That is absolutely knockout, isn't it?
Really lovely.
Yeah. It's my favorite too, actually.
Yeah.
And
it'd be nice with the vodka in it.
Oh, typical. Bring it down to your level.
A bit of white rum, maybe? No, it's gorgeous, isn't it? Really nice.
Yeah, it's a good question, the one about cocktails. Because it's a... like the example before, the vinegar, we keep seeing bartender using Jules.
Oh,
I can imagine that. Yeah.
To create a new generation of cocktails. Mm. Just because, again, you can combine flavors without mixing them up front.
Yeah.
So you keep intact the difference between an apple and a lychee. Yes. And only when they come in your mouth, they unleash
Absolutely. And you really can, can't you? You know, you're absolutely right. He would be, because he developed it. But it is amazing, isn't it, how the separation of the flavors is still there in a bottle of stuff. Yeah, that normally shouldn't have separated flavors. It should just be all mushed together.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Exactly. Mm. And actually, the reaction of consumer behind the power of the pears like pushed us to try also to develop a parallel product that are the standalone pears. So on top of the drinks, that is, of course, our main business, that's where we distributed, as you said, very well in 1,500 stores in the UK. So very proud of the result we achieved so far. But we see that there is a massive traction also on the usage of the standalone pears. Standalone pears come on little buckets or toppers with... It depends from the grammage, but you can use the pears to do whatever you want. You can cook muffins. You can use it on cocktails. You can use on if you have a buffet. You want to prepare some crackers like canapé with pears of different flavors. You can really.
I'm liking this.
It's fun, isn't it?
That is really fun. Mm. You can actually have a lot of fun with it.
Absolutely, you can play with flavors.
Do different stuff with it. Because funnily enough, I was trying to think of an analogy for the pearls and the kind of size they are. And I was thinking they're kind of ball bearing, but that's a horrible description because it's nothing like a ball bearing. Yeah. I tell you what it is like. It's like red caviar.
Yeah.
When you said you could put it on a cracker, you could have some of those on a cracker, couldn't you? And it would be brilliant because they're all different flavours.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. With the different cheeses.
I'm really liking this.
Exactly.
Ought to make this into a business, Antonio.
Antonio, what flavours do the pearls come in? You've got some there just that aren't in the drinks.
Yeah, we have the three samples I brought as standalone pearls. Pearls that we're not using yet in drinks. We're going to use in the new product development of new drinks. There are pears that you can use. There are savory flavors and sweet flavors.
Oh, can we try the savory one?
I've got my spoon ready.
So you said it's the vinegar day today?
No, that's not until the 1st of November, but don't let that stop us. We'll still have some vinegar-flavored pearls.
So we can have some balsamic vinegars, yeah.
You're gonna partake in this, Paul?
Absolutely.
Actually, these are probably the closest looking to caviar as well, because they're balsamic vinegar coloured.
And while the girls are trying these, Antonio, are you actually selling these as a separate product like this?
Yeah, we are selling this one to other business players, so we don't sell it yet to consumers.
Okay.
It's a proposition that we are evolving, and we are seeing the potential to be then, as of, let's say, in the near future, in supermarket. But definitely something that has massive potential. Also to create educational behind the usage of the pears.
Right.
Because the pears are a whole new way to experience combination of flavors, a whole new way to experience how the intense flavor can be, instead of like... even on a salad, we're talking about a salad before.
Yeah.
If you think about having pears of whatever, vinaigrette, or pears of olive oil instead of just olive oil, you mix together. Even the sachet, the plastic sachet, instead of having the plastic sachet, you can have pears inside.
Yeah, and you can really monitor how much you put on,
exactly.
Can't you?
Yeah. So it's a whole new platform, go from food to drinks.
Absolutely, I couldn't put it better myself. It is a completely divergent and new way of applying something. It's absolutely brilliant.
So I really do think that will be like a high-end food product. You know, we talk about foodies and talking about what people like to show that they're eating, you know, and I think it's such a fun, innovative thing. I think it would be absolutely huge at home.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is to bring this playfulness, as we said before, on everything we touch. Because we believe that when consumers get engaged with the drink or the food they are consuming, all of a sudden you start to get inspired about the food you have. So we want to become, let's say, the tool that enables to have this inspiration behind your food, your drink. So we started from the drink, but now we are looking at different solutions to bring the same philosophy, the same what we call technically the brand purpose on anything we do. So we want to surprise the world with these.
And you certainly are doing that. Yeah. It's fabulous.
Yeah, it really is. It's really a fun thing to do.
Without being rude, when I first looked at it, I thought that it's a nice gimmick, to have some round stuff in a bottle, But once you start to, really deconstruct it and look at what you're doing here, it really is innovative, very, very innovative. And it tastes brilliant. Fantastic. If we may, Antonio, I'd just like to kind of move away from the product a little bit and just talk to you about the business itself. You started when?
So we started in 2012.
Right, okay.
And the product is on shelf since the end of 2014.
Right, okay.
So we're talking around 18 months.
Right, okay.
We are available in supermarket. And the business is going well. We can see a lot of traction in every supermarket where we enter.
Okay.
We have.
So you very soon into the product development managed to get into supermarket. I can see why, but so because a lot of new food producers actually struggle with that, and they tend to sell to independents first.
Yeah.
But you've got into the supermarket chains.
Yeah. We got in some of the big retailers.
Yeah.
So we are. We can see an amazing level of engagement, especially at the shopper point of view.
Yeah.
And of course, it drives a lot of support from the retailers.
Yeah.
So that's something, what we say, we try to create joint demand creation. So we want to work together, how we can surprise consumers with this new proposition.
Okay.
And actually now we are evolving to an even bigger goal to have more flavors, new product development. And for this reason, we are evaluating a new round of investment.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that. So your plans to move forward, you're currently looking for some fresh capital injection into the business?
Correct.
Okay.
That's the nature of the startup, you know. We're still a startup.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you all the time try to achieve bigger goals. And of course, you need liquidity to do that.
Yeah.
And so we are evaluating different investors.
Okay.
And we're definitely interested on if there is anybody that wants to believe that our proposition
is absolutely
a strong proposition, we are more than happy to provide information.
So if you're sitting there with a few million quid burning a hole in your pocket and you don't know what to do with it, and you fancy investing it into some wasabi pearls, I can tell you it's a damn fine investment. So if there is anyone out there listening that's an angel investor or somebody that wants to get involved in this, how can they get hold of you, Antonio?
So very simple. They can send me an email, and then we can share all the documents needed and the information, the business plan, whatever they need.
Okay.
And our email is hello@julesdrinks.com.
And that's so, Jules, J-O-O-L-S.
Correct.
JulesDrinks.com. Hello@JulesDrinks.com.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Cool. So that's brilliant. And we wish you much luck with raising. I'm sure you won't have too many problems raising in the next tranche of money, because it is a truly innovative product. And as you say, and as you've seen already, the bigger chains and the bigger sellers have already bought into this as a product. So, you know, the only way is up, as they say.
Fantastic product. Yeah.
Amazing.
And where are you based, Antonio?
So we are based in London.
Okay.
Our office is in a very nice location between Angel and Old Street. Right. We face a canal.
Right.
And so sometimes when
it's just like home then, just like Venice.
Yeah, exactly. I was saying when it's sunshine, I feel a bit home.
Yeah.
So that's very good. That's very good.
Cool. Cool. Antonio, thank you so much for sharing that with us and bringing your fabulous product to us. We absolutely love it. And it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you on the Food Talk Show. Do you have a website and a Twitter handle and all that kind of thing that people can follow you on?
Yes, definitely. I mean, the best gate to get access to us is our website. That is www.julesdrinks.com.
Okay.
Jules, J-O-O-L-S, as you said.
Yeah.
And there you find all the information you need about the product, about the purse, about how to get in contact with us. And you can follow us on Facebook, Jules Drinks.
Fantastic. So that's JulesDrinks.com. Do give them a follow. Do check it out. Do have a look. Do buy some of the product and try it, because I tell you, it's
amazed.
A knockout. You will be amazed. Yeah. It really is stonkingly
Super.
Good. For the moment, Antonio, thank you so much for joining us on the Food Talk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
pleasure.
You.
Yeah. We're very fast approaching the end of the show. And I think really, Christy, that we ought to wrap up a bit by just telling the listener
What we're
up to tomorrow,
So tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, we're going to be recording our the Food Talk Show from London Olympia at the Allergy and Free From Show.
Yep.
We're on stand L221.
L221.
That's right. So we'll be there from 10 till 5, I think. Both days. You're doing tomorrow, aren't you?
I'll be there tomorrow. You'll
and
be there,
I'll be there
Saturday.
On Saturday. And then on Sunday, there's some other people that are going to be there doing some recording for the YouTube channel.
Yeah, so we've got a pop-up radio station at the show. And as Christy said, we will be there. We will be interviewing people.
Come and say hello.
Yeah, having fun. So come and say hello. L221 is our stand number. It's a big show. Come and join in. And they're always fun, those things, aren't they?
They are. It should be really fun. We've got some really interesting guests coming on. And then next week we'll have a special, won't we?
We will indeed. What we'll do is we'll play out some of those interviews that we managed to record over the weekend, so that you can hear some of the interesting things we come across at the... what's it called? The
Allergy and Free From Show at London Olympia.
Allergy and Free From Show.
Free From.
That's not easy to say, Free From, is it? Free From. Free From. The Allergy and Free From Show at Olympia.
Yes.
Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Do come along. Do come and say hello to us on stand L221.
We'd love to say hello
We'd
to
you. Love to see you and, you know, all that stuff. And we will be there interviewing people. So, good stuff. I think maybe we just kind of wind up in the last minute or so by just going over again who we heard from today. We heard from the vinegar folks, Rupert.
Wormsley Foods, Fruit Vinegar. Rupert Parsons was on earlier and he was talking us through his vinegars.
Absolutely.
And then we had asparagus and holiday sauce from Hilda from Belmont House.
Belmont House, over there in Faversham, I do believe.
Yes, yeah, I do too. And then lastly, we had the lovely Antonio.
We saved the best to last.
From Jules, who's been talking us through, and we've been trying some of his delicious drinks, haven't we? Mm.
Yeah, I've been sitting here munching on the rest of the pearls.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so thank you all for joining us on the Food Talk Show. We wish Brady a very, very happy birthday and many happy returns.
Thank you.
A huge thank you to Rupert and Antonio for joining us. Hey, and we'll be back at 4 o'clock next Thursday with another edition of the Food Talk Show. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you all soon.